Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
On the Franciscan calendar, today we commemorate St. Agnes of Assisi, who was the sister of St. Clare, her younger sister. In fact, St. Clare consecrated herself to God first, and very soon after that followed Agnes, her sister, and then Ortolana, the mother as well. So all three of them became the first Poor Clares. St. Agnes died the same year that St. Clare died, in 1253, and obviously, and this obvious statement is to connect me to the gospel, obviously St. Clare renounced something very good, which is marriage, for the sake of something even better, which is a virginity, chastity, and anticipation of the kingdom of God, where human beings neither marry nor are given in marriage. In fact, marriage, though a sacrament and a beautiful reality, is nevertheless an earthly reality, which ends with the death of the spouses and ends completely with the end of time. But nevertheless, at the end, I'll say a word about that. Marriage in heaven. What I'd like to touch upon first is our Lord's response. He says, the children of this age marry and remarry. So this concept of remarriage, of which our Lord speaks, this concept has to be situated and understood in its proper context. And the context is his response to the Sadducees, who give him this tricky example of what they think is proof that there is no resurrection. Seven brothers marry the same woman. At the end of their lives, when they are in heaven, whose wife will that woman be? And our Lord then responds that there is no marriage in heaven. But marrying and remarrying, nevertheless, can occur upon the death of a spouse. So, since always the Church has defended the legitimacy of remarriage after the death of a spouse. In fact, there was heresies in the early Church that said even after a husband or a wife dies, that person, that living remaining spouse, cannot remarry. That would be adultery. The Church has said that that is incorrect. Death really separates two persons, puts an end to their marriage bond, and leaves the surviving spouse free to remarry. So the Church, again, has always taught this, remarriage after the death of the husband or wife, but only after the death of the husband and wife as well. Remarriage in other cases has been called adultery, and the Church on this has also had to defend itself and defend Christian doctrine from many, many heresies and many errors. Remarriage with the living husband or the living wife still bound is called in the Church adultery, and it's one of those sins listed by St. Paul that precludes entrance into the kingdom of heaven. A very grievous sin, what we would call a mortal sin, and which again bars entrance into the kingdom of God. So things being as serious as they are, the Church teaches, again, marriage is a good, holy thing. To abuse marriage is a very grievous sin. To commit adultery is a very grievous sin. So that's why the doctrine of the Church is what it is. It's demanding, yes. It's challenging, yes. But nevertheless, God gives the grace to live up to that challenge. Persons who have remarried while their actual husband or wife is still alive must either separate from the man or the woman that they are with in adultery, precisely because it's a sin of adultery and scandal on top of that, or if that is impossible because those two persons outside of their real marriage have had, let's say, new children, if it's impossible for them to temporarily separate because they must together now as mother and father take care of children that they had out of wedlock in adultery, they may remain together for as long as is necessary to fulfill that duty, but however living as brother and sister, which means explicitly refraining from all sexual relations. Because sexual relations between two persons who are not married to each other, but married to other persons, is adultery. And again, it's a very serious sin. Or the third option is the one that they shouldn't opt for, but sadly is the one that many people opt for. They can continue to have sexual relations, commit adultery, which excludes them from the kingdom of God. And the job of the church is to encourage them to take either of the first options. Separate and go back to your husband and wife, or if you can't separate, live as brother and sister. And for as long as they're not ready to do this, the church is called to accompany them and call them out of that situation into a situation of grace. This is mercy, and amazingly, it's worked for 2,000 years. It's been challenging for 2,000 years, but it's worked for 2,000 years. So really, the only question is like, well, how do we continue to offer this mercy to persons who over and over again find themselves in these situations? The solution certainly isn't to tell people, well, now it's actually okay. Now you can have sexual relations with a different man or a different woman, even though your husband or wife is still alive. Now it's fine. That would not be mercy. Mercy is, again, to challenge persons and to assure them of the grace to be faithful to that challenge. Now, again, on the subject of being challenging, it's true that there is a lot of confusion on this point today. Confusion in a certain sense, yes, because even when our Lord taught this doctrine, even his very own disciples, his apostles, remained shocked. Our Lord's teaching, on the one hand, was clear. He was saying what he was saying, and he meant what he meant. But it was so shocking that even the apostles later on in private asked him, Lord, like, did you really say what you said? And can it really be the way it is? And did you really mean what you meant? Remarriage after divorce is really adultery. And our Lord reaffirms, yes, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So even though there's, of course, we human beings, we become attached to our sin, so there's a lot of resistance to this doctrine from our Lord. A lot of people are shocked just by how challenging our Lord's teaching on marriage is, how holy the sacrament of marriage is. And there is a lot of confusion today. Sure, we have to admit that. But as St. Paul says, do not be deceived, and do not let yourself be confused. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers will inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery will always remain adultery, and it'll always stand as a roadblock on the way to heaven. But guess what? In God's mercy, that roadblock can be removed. That's the even more amazing thing. That's the even more shocking thing. People can convert from their sins. People can make U-turns in life and leave sinful situations. People can be challenged, and we can live up to those terrible challenges. That's the amazing thing about mercy. God can set the bar seemingly too high, and with his grace, help us to surmount that bar. That's the amazing thing about mercy. Not that God all of a sudden says, well, I'm just going to lower that bar from you because you're not capable of living in fidelity to your husband or wife. Not you. That's not mercy. All right, having said that, no marriage in heaven now? Let's conclude with that brief thought. Well, in a certain sense, no. In a certain sense, yes. To those who live a very happy marriage on earth, the thought that there is no marriage in heaven is a sad thought. To those who live an unhappy marriage on earth, it's a relief. But what is the answer, joking aside? There will be marriage in heaven, but marriage will be between the soul and each individual soul and God himself. In fact, our Lord, when speaking of the kingdom of God, says that it will be like a marriage banquet, like a wedding. In fact, our souls are espoused to God forever in heaven. The sacrament between two persons, yes, will cease, because the purposes, the ends of that sacrament will cease. Procreation will cease. It's an earthly reality which will have an end. And it being an essential purpose of marriage itself ceases. The mutual help that husband and wife give one another will cease, because in heaven, God is all in all. God fulfills all our needs and desires, and we no longer need the mediation of human beings as is the case in marriage. Marriage will cease because it is also exclusive. And in heaven, there is no exclusivity. We're not compartmentalized into individual families. This man and this woman in this marriage with their family, with boundaries and separation from other families, that's an earthly reality. And not a bad one either, but it's an earthly reality. In heaven, those walls, those barriers are removed, and we are all one family, where that family intimacy is not something that's taken away, but it's rather multiplied and amplified and expanded into all citizens of heaven. However, the married love that two persons had on earth, yes, that will carry over, even in heaven. But in this way, and again, we have to oversimplify here, it's a subject that we could speak about at length. The married love that two persons had exclusively on earth will no longer be exclusive in heaven, in the sense that it will be known by others as well. So the way two married persons knew and loved one another on earth will be known by others in heaven. So what was exclusively theirs on earth will become the joy of all the saints in heaven, and vice versa. Two persons who are married on earth will know the married love of other persons in heaven as well. And it's not supposed to be thought of in a carnal way. It's the spiritual love will be known and participated in by others as well. No separate families with boundaries, but one family. Nothing in heaven is taken away, but rather everything is multiplied, expanded, given by God. So, yes, there will be marriage in heaven, but between our souls and God. So everything that husband and wife experience on earth will be there in heaven, but in a much greater, on a much higher and more mystical way. Our Lord says, the children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Let's ask Our Lady to make us worthy to attain to this coming age, because it's only those who are deemed worthy who will come into possession of it. Let's ask her to help us live and die in the state of grace, which opens for us the door to heaven. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.